harder to tell from up here. I could hear the little echo now. So, all right. Well, thanks for coming out. This is EXL 316. It's a Link 2013 Preview Meeting Improvements. My name is Andrew Ahrensling. I am from Microsoft Consulting Services out of Chicago in the U.S. And with me as well is Val Tuckett.
Howdy, y'all. Some of you I probably know. Worked Microsoft for a little while, so dealt with Link for a little while, and we're going to be showing you some of the newer meeting improvements.
So if you went to the architecture session, first of all, before that, caveat, right, all information subject to change. This is pre-release code, so at any point you could see changes from what we're discussing today. This is our best information available publicly at this point in time. So with that, if you went to the architecture session, the way we describe this session is we're going to spend about 15 minutes, maybe 20, covering some of the enhanced meeting experiences, a little bit about the underpinnings of how those work, and then our goal is to spend about 30 minutes to 45 minutes, maybe longer, basically demonstrating or walking through a live demo of a Link meeting itself. We'll have some participants here as well as kind of around in other places. We'll demonstrate both the Link native meeting experience as well as some integration with Polycom as a third-party integration effort as well. So we'll show a slew of different meeting capabilities and meeting experiences here over the next hour to 75 minutes. So first one, one of the goals here in Link, right, is the concept of presenting or making Link meetings. We see the meeting experience as really kind of being fundamental to that collaboration effort. And so meetings can be launched, as we said, right, from not just Link itself, but trying from the native Office applications. We also try to ensure that there's photographs and or video more prominently displayed in the Link 2013 experience to sort of enhance or make video what we call a first-class citizen. So we're adding the concept of video and or pictures to that roster experience, so rather than just a list of names. We're showing either live video feeds or some photographs of people who are available for that. We also want to make the meeting experience easier from a presenter perspective of seeing what you're going to display before you submit it to the meeting. So hovering over your camera, for example, will show you what your camera is picking up. So if you have a bright white or a sun at your back in the window, for example, and you see that your camera, you just have the black outline of the head, you may not have the optimal video experience. You may want to shut the blinds, for example, before adding video to the call. On Link 2010 and prior, you clicked on add video and it started up, and what you saw was what everybody else saw at the same time. You didn't have that preview opportunity available for flowing through. The other part to Link is we want to make this contextual or ability to bring people in very easy or seamless from a user perspective. So regardless of where people are, whether they're in your organization, in your building, in another office location in your city, on another continent, for example, or at a federated partner or vendor that you work with, we want that browse by name capability, right? So we can see the people's names, we start typing their name, we see the little pictures or contact cards show up, and then we can start that conversation, whether it's an instant message, a phone call, a video call, some sort of sharing event where we're sharing a screen or uploading office documents for collaboration or working on. The concept of sharing, as we said, is kind of critical. One of the changes around Link 2013 is the augmentation of the meeting experience with OneNote. We found that it's very common in a meeting for people to be taking notes. Today, that note-taking is typically individual. Sort of the, he who writes the official meeting notes has a bit of modicum of control, right, over what actually happened in that meeting. It's funny how sometimes the notes don't always reflect perhaps the views of all participants in the meeting. With Link 2013, you'll have a multi-editor note-taking experience. So we'll show you this concept of starting a meeting, bringing some people in, and then having that collaborative meeting OneNote up on the side where you can see a multi-person note-taking activity, or even if one person's transcribing or taking notes, the ability to see that being shared out in real time with other meeting participants on there. Document presentation, as we said also, if you've chosen to deploy the WAC server role, the web access components, we'll have the Office team itself has the code behind that for rendering. So the PowerPoint rendering experience, the document rendering experience for artifacts that are uploaded is much richer in terms of presentation capabilities than what we had in Link 2010. Meetings also should have a couple choices. Here we call it scheduled or spontaneous, what we used to call ad hoc, for example. But essentially, what we found is we deployed few years back, Office Communication Server 2007 R2 and the live meeting version of the meeting experience. And at that time, it wasn't necessarily intuitive or easy to have a spontaneous or an ad hoc meeting. And so we found that people would schedule meetings, and then everyone would get the Outlook invite. They click on the join link, up comes the live meeting client, and they can participate via audio or sharing content, whiteboards, for example. The ratio of scheduled meetings to ad hoc was around 2 or 3 to 1 in that time frame. So for every spontaneous meeting, we had 2 or 3 scheduled meetings using that meeting approach. When we went to Link 2010 and we integrated the meeting experience directly into the Link client, enabling a very rapid escalate to a meeting path from the IM conversation, from the audio call, we saw the inverse of that. The spontaneous meetings now at Microsoft are around 2 or 3 to 1 compared to the scheduled meetings. And so what we found from the user results, right, or our user population, is that simplifying that meeting experience said that rather than blocking off a half hour, hour of time, we have a lot more little short meetings of 10 to 30, 40 minutes, for example, where someone has a document, a question, an Excel spreadsheet, right? They're IMing someone, they share that out. That person's not quite sure, they know part of the answer, but they'll bring a third person into the call, right? And we just keep adding or making that spontaneous meeting experience. It gets the originator the answers to their questions, people close down, they're back out, and they don't have to go through looking for free busy information and trying to reach out and schedule that that meeting occurrence. So, let's take a look at what's new. First one, we show the concept of multi-party video. We now have the capability of doing more than active speaker switching, which was the current active speaker, and the active speaker would see the previous speaker in his video feed. With Link 2013 preview, we now have the capability of up to 5 concurrent video streams. Those concurrent video streams can range up to HD video or 720p video resolution, as well as supports the H.264 SVC codec, which from the architecture session brought some advantages around mobile devices such as phones and tablets, as well as some reduced CPU utilization on the MCUs itself when we have to scale down the bandwidth of one of the endpoints on those connections. We also have the capability of a roster, or the seated participants in the meeting, we call them, which is a static picture view of all the other attendees. And you can dynamically pin people from the seated to the standing, for example, right, to promote them from a static view or a picture view up into a live video feed in the call. And that's individual per meeting participant. So you can choose who you're watching or paying attention to as a meeting participant in a multi-party video call. We also talk about the content sharing, right? So here we have the capability of taking that multi-party meeting experience and very easily adding attachments, uploading a PowerPoint or a Word document, for example, sharing out my screen, sharing out monitor 1, monitor 2, both monitors, for example, as well as an individual window or application. And we'll show that sharing experience and how that's been simplified with the preview in Link 2013 preview. You can also have the primary speaker, right? So you can denote a primary speaker, which is going to be superseded over the individuals or participants in the meeting. And like we said, on the individual basis, select the other 4 folks that you'd like to see on that video feed. For video conferences, we have some more capabilities as well. We mentioned in the architecture one the concept of face centering, for example. So we'll dynamically look at each one of those webcam feeds, pick out the person's face and try to center that in the square to present that optimal view for the other participants or the other people in the meeting itself. Video itself becomes simpler. You'll see the ability to preview your video as well as to simply turn on your camera. It's hovering over some of the controls will expose some of the UI and the interface that enables you to do this. If we don't have video capabilities for some of the clients, we also have high-definition pictures in Exchange 2013 and Link 2013 to provide a higher resolution photo than what we saw in Link 2010. So in our previous versions, we had the capability for pictures, but as we make these pictures larger in the Link 2013 meeting experience, we realized we wanted a higher resolution or a more quality photograph option for people who wanted that higher res capability. Link web app is also a major area of investment. The goal here is to reduce the requirement of having to install a thick client, such as the attendee client, for the full meeting experience. So in Link 2010, we had a limited set of meeting capabilities from a browser, but if you wanted audio or video, that was installing the attendee client or connecting from a phone, for example, to bring the audio into that call. With Link web app and our browser capabilities, we've now extended that to browsers as well, so we can have both the sharing capabilities as well as audio video inside of that browser. We also have capability right around DRM. If an organization has deployed the DRM technologies with part of Active Directory, we have the ability to restrict the content and ensure that that's not being displayed or exposed to participants that should not be seeing or are not authorized to see the DRM content. As with everything, right, DRM is that not the foolproof scenario. It's meant to stop the accidental spillage, not the malicious user. Malicious users always can, I think Michael Atala has the one in his slides, right, that shows the CRT on the copier, right, or someone taking a picture of the screen. But it prevents that accidental disclosure where someone accidentally invites someone who's not authorized to see some of that content. The upload and share office documents become simpler. You no longer have to start from the Link meeting perspective. You can start that sharing process, as we said, natively from inside of Office 2013. So choose the participants you'd like to view and collaborate with, and that Link meeting experience will begin with that content that you're inside of Office automatically being shared out as part of that meeting. A quick hit on the video capabilities. So people have questions. Okay, we've got a wide mix of clients now, right? There's the Link 2013 desktop client. We have we discussed the option of running Link as part of the Link 2013 client as part of a VDI host or capability. There's the Link 2013 web app, and we've announced a Link 2013 Windows 8 user interface style client as well. These will have a variety of functionality choices. Here we can see the desktop obviously is going to give you the full list or capabilities of all these modalities or functionalities in that. The web app is going to give us the same except for peer-to-peer. The assumption here is that the web app is something that you join a meeting with. We're not making the web app a Link endpoint that you're having in a peer-to-peer conversation, for example. We also have the collaboration capabilities, and you can see here a lot more parity. So as we look at the different versions of the clients available, we can see quite a bit of parity across application, desktop sharing, notes, right? Private notes are shared. We'll show you what that means in terms of OneNote when we look at the demo. Having a whiteboard, a poll, uploading file attachments to the meeting so other participants can download those or work on them as well, potentially save them for posterity, as well as client-side recording. So client-side recording is still a function of the full Link client. We don't offer the capability of that around the VDI or the web app capabilities today. With Link 2010, when we initially shipped 2010, we announced the support for up to for meeting sizes with up to 250 participants. And so if we look at the timeline, we were coding Link 2010 in 2008 and 2009, and so we had a set of hardware available at our disposal that's 4 to 6 years old, given the current timelines. And so as we went through our testing with Link 2010, we realized that our maximum meeting size before we started to see performance degradation in that meeting was around 250 participants. Since the release of Link 2010 and the growth or ability of the processor and hardware companies to continue to accelerate the CPU cycles and number of cores we could have on a server, we decided to go back and revisit that testing and see what we could do on a current generation of hardware, right, but the same Link 2010 software. And we realized that we could actually support up to 1,000 participants in a meeting, assuming that we had just one 1,000 user conference and not three or four of these running at the same time. And we had some restrictions around capabilities that were occurring, right? So not video, but having a PowerPoint being shared out, for example. That guidance is reflected in a white paper we released and a modified support stance earlier this year that came out to state we now support up to 1,000 person meetings with Link 2010, assuming these constraints. This 1,000 user concept will carry forward to Link Server 2013. We expect to update that white paper and publish a revised guidance of what can be done around large meeting support for Link 2013 as well, sometime post RTM. So our publicly support, our public guidance in a standard pool, right, or a standard pool is the wrong phrase to use, in a typical Link pool, whether it's a standard edition or enterprise edition, is recommended to be capped at 250. However, the principles in the 1,000 meeting white paper apply. If you set up a dedicated pool and put the appropriate restrictions on it, we will support you with up to 1,000 participants in one of those link meetings.
All good.
Yes.
Take over?
Yeah, absolutely.
You've been talking all afternoon.
True. Thank you. I need the break.
All right, guys. So with the changes that we've had with the Link 2013 preview, there's some complexities on the back end that you need to be aware of when presenting PowerPoint decks and what's actually occurring. So aside from giving you the overview, which is what Andrew's been delving into, I've just got a couple of slides for you to actually give you a bit of a background on the connection or the way a presenter and or an attendee will actually connect properly. The enhancements for that are designed to try and ensure a good experience across the Link 2013 preview for large-scale meetings, like Andrew was just talking about, with 1,000 attendees or less, and ensure that the Office web app server will provide that detail. In addition to the sharing and integration that we've got in the back end, we've got some of the consistent look of feel across the entire Office suite, whether that be Outlook, PowerPoint, OneNote, okay, Word or Excel. You can initiate a sharing session from all of that and using the same contact cards and details and communication methods that you would use consistently across the Link preview. Other enhancements that we've put in, which were mentioned in the architecture presentation earlier as well, if you attended that, scheduling from OWA has been enhanced to make that a little bit easier for you and a little bit more seamless. Customization of meeting invitations. Previously to Link 2013 preview, you weren't able to enhance the invitations to embed your business look and feel into the invitation that would go out. So in 2013, you've got the ability to add in things like a legal notice, an icon or a display for your company, a help file indicator where they can get more information, and that will appear when someone actually generates a link meeting that you'll then send out. One of the things, again, mentioned earlier, embedding files within a PowerPoint presentation, and that's all because of the possibility provided to us by the web access, the WAC server from Office. We actually can embed a reasonable size video into that process, and it's actually streamed down from that server, and the presentations that are uploaded to that particular server are also managed by the Link client, sending SIP information back up to the server to request an update and a representation of the status of what's changing on the screen in front of you. So it's no longer rendered in the back end by the Link services. Sharing OneNote, already mentioned, and the good thing is absolutely a capture of the attendees in a meeting from OneNote. How many of you have been in meetings where 14 people have joined, the invitation's been sent around to other people in the organization, they've jumped in, at the end of the meeting, you recognize three names, and then have to go and ask everyone else who's actually attended? Yeah, fairly common. Within OneNote, it'll actually keep that roster for you, so then you can actually not only send out the notes that were taken during the meeting or that were scheduled at the start, but you can then collaborate post-meeting using the OneNote that you've actually captured. So it's a end-to-end collaboration story rather than just during the meeting is what's occurring now as we move to Office 2013. So you absolutely require the WAC server for large-scale PowerPoint meetings and any embedded media content for your PowerPoint presentations. So if you want dynamic transitions, fade-ins, fade-out, and everyone else's favorites within a PowerPoint presentation, then you're going to be using the Office web apps. So the recommendation on that slide is still under debate for the size of an embedded video. The recommendations for that will be coming out as we obviously solidify the performance capabilities and scale. The good things for a presenter, whenever you actually play one of the embedded videos, automatically across the meeting, you're muting all the other attendees so you don't get any background or overrun noise that might be obscuring the message you're trying to get across with that particular video. Not only that, if you've got a large sample for the video file, you can actually skip to a known minute value if you just want to play a particular sample from within that presentation, rather than having to let the whole media file continue and run. And depending upon which client you're using, as per the previous slides, may alter some of the views for you, but it's pretty seamless across the board. So things to know from a presenter perspective, what we're talking about here is the data MCU on the right-hand side, the embedded browser frame in your link client down the bottom, and the Office server on the side with a presentation service running. So obviously the first thing the presenter is going to be doing is actually uploading the file to the data MCU. Okay? Like you've done previously, when you're actually trying to present a PowerPoint presentation to anyone, that's what you're going to be doing first to make it more seamless to people to view, okay? Rather than uploading it as an attachment and allowing people to download that. Once you've pushed it to the data MCU, it's going to return to your client as a presenter and to the other presenters in the meeting a broadcast URL that you're actually going to then push up to the Office presentation service. So that retrieve URL is what is then going to be pushed out to the attendees, okay? So they can actually know what file has been uploaded, where it's stored, what it's located, and that it's relevant for this particular meeting that you're actually running. Presentation service then goes and actually obtains the file that you've uploaded, okay, in the background. Because if you remember, you've just uploaded it to the data MCU in Link. You haven't actually given it to the Office presentation service to actually allow that to publish anything. So it has to retrieve that information. Then throughout the meeting, whether you're setting the current slide or setting the location of a media file, you're constantly polling back to the presentation service to update what you're looking at as a presenter, which is then consumed by the attendees. So from an attendee perspective, now the presenter has uploaded the file, updated the presentation service with the first slide, if you like, of the meeting. So now the attendee is actually going to retrieve the broadcast URL from the data MCU so that they know and can see the actual first slide. They won't see it on step one. They have to actually go off to the presentation service and retrieve that information. Now the get file is only if that presentation area hasn't actually obtained the file yet. Okay, so it's just another initiator to retrieve the information that's then going to be presented to the individual users that are attending the meeting. The client will then constantly poll very quickly, if you sort of sub 5 second mark, every time to actually obtain what the presenter has updated so that you're not going to be sitting on slide 5 when the presenter's up to slide 15 in their deck. Okay. Question? From an integration perspective, I haven't actually set it up. I don't know.
That's an unknown.
Definitely on-prem, unknown for Office 365. Okay, and obviously, because we've actually uploaded the file into the data MCU, the attendees can actually download that file still as an attachment style connection, so they can still run it offline if they want to. OneNote has been enhanced to work with the entire Office suite, and Link especially, to provide, as I mentioned, that consistent look and feel for a meeting so that you can collaborate as a meeting's set up, prior to a Link meeting occurring, during a Link meeting, and then after the meeting has actually finished. Okay? The intent is to allow you a central repository for all your information around a particular discussion point or topic that you're actually trying to collaborate on. And it also doesn't mean that it only handles one meeting. Okay? You can actually instantiate other meetings from that particular OneNote. So if you're trying, you know, perhaps you've finished the meeting already, the next day you realize you've missed a couple of particular topics, you could schedule an ad hoc meeting out of that OneNote for, you know, a subset of the users or people that were actually in the original meeting to discuss what occurred. The only catch at the moment is they're stored in SkyDrive, so you need to actually have the permissions allocated to SkyDrive to allow those users to actually get access to the material that you're actually going to be uploading for central usage. I imagine that that will change in the future, but we'll have to wait and see what's occurring with that. Okay. So this is just a quick overview for you to give you a graphical explanation of who and what can edit a OneNote and when it occurs in a meeting. So the meeting timeline on the left-hand side, so before the meeting, the O, okay, is the organizer. We'll actually schedule an Outlook invitation, usually create a calendar entry and send that out to a group of people who are going to be presenters, perhaps, and attendees for a meeting. Subsequently, during that meeting, when it starts, presenters and the organizers can actually collaborate not only through perhaps polls or whiteboarding within the actual meeting themselves, but also in the OneNote, to update and keep track of material that's being discussed throughout the meeting. That information is shared with, obviously, the organizer, presenter, and all attendees during the meeting, and then afterwards, that information is pushed up to a shared storage location, which is then able to be accessed by everyone using OneNote independently of Link later on to retrieve the roster of who attended and the notes of what occurred during that particular meeting. And then subsequently, that can be published again, organized another meeting, or archived off, depending upon the organizational requirements. So this is just the section within the control panel within Link 2013 preview, where you can actually customize the URLs for your banner image for your organization, help file, legal text, or something else for your disclaimer. That will all appear within the actual meeting invitation that you're actually sending out. These URLs would need to be public if you want someone to retrieve an image file or a URL from an external source. Otherwise, they can be advertised to an external resource when booking a meeting, but they simply won't be able to retrieve that URL information if you use internals only. Okay. And obviously the custom footer text at the bottom, which if you don't want to have a legal notification, you could put down, you know, any of your legal jargon that you need to, absolving you of all responsibility for sending it out to the wrong people. All right, with that, we're going to probably jump into a demo because we're hopefully giving you more time on demos than less time in PowerPoint presenting.
We're in a bit of a rush as the we're getting alerted that the partner pavilion area where the partners are, such as Polycom, which we wanted to show you the Polycom interop, they're being kicked out right now in preparation for whatever happens tonight or at 6 p.m. I guess they closed down the event around 5. So initially we're going to show you the Link meeting experience and then get to the interop. What we're going to do first in this case is actually show you the Polycom interop so that they don't get kicked out. Looks like Mario's going to go over and see if he can help us out a little bit on that. But let's see what we can get started. So as you can see, what we have here, to give you some background, is Polycom has an HDX 7000, which is one of their higher-end camera displays. You can see a nice high-res video as we display this on the screen. That actually can register natively as a Link endpoint. So it has a little keyboard and mouse, as well as a little CPU that runs the Link client software and allows a Link user to sign in on that endpoint and then have the full Link experience, except instead of a PC-style application, coming from a either a executive system or a room-based system behind that. Security's behind me. Okay. Let's hurry up. We'll turn the camera on and see if we can go ahead and call Selvin. So Selvin has logged in to this Polycom unit, which is over at their stand, using his Microsoft credentials, right? So he's coming in over the internet, being able to log on, and hopefully we get him up on the screen before security escorts him from the location.
We can then watch what's actually
happening. We had heard
happening.
It was 6 p.m., so we knew he had some time earlier. We didn't realize it was coming up that quickly. So hopefully he hasn't been arrested yet.
We'll be able to watch actually what's happening that security's giving them all out for, because all the cameras will be turned on and we'll see what's going on.
We'll have a recording of the attempted arrest. So let's see if he's there. While we're looking at that, so in the Link client, right, you kind of see some difference in the meeting presentation and controls. We still have the chat interface, and the RMX is right, can show you the chat capabilities. Hey, Selvin, are you there? I don't know if I connected to him or not yet there. My camera's on, video's on, looks like audio's on. Do we have audio coming out from my PC? Do we know if that's correct on that portion? And it has just ended. I didn't actually test the audio. We can test audio output here by doing the check call quality. Let's just make sure we can actually hear Any audio coming from this
check
side?
Your call quality.
Okay. Audio's
record
good.
A short message.
So we
after
think it's a security
tone.
Problem over there with Sullivan right now. He must have been must have been disconnected just before we had that capability. So while Mario goes to straighten out that situation, we'll switch back and show you the Link client and the Link capabilities. One of the things we want to show you is the Link web app. So what we have over here is Val. There's Sullivan as well. Let's accept the call and see what happens. Maybe he is there after all. Hey, there he is. Now he's over in the room. So let's bring that full screen. So here's all the folks over in the Polycom booth area. You can see looks like security has allowed them to to sit back for another couple of minutes, but they're coming in essentially, right, from a non-Link endpoint, some high fives, is that what's going on? We also see the video quality improving, right? We should see a nice clear video from them as they've got a higher quality camera on those devices than what you typically see on a desktop or a laptop as a webcam. If you want a good demo, we actually have one of their units set up with the Pixel Sense screen. I don't know if you've seen the Microsoft booth there with the large, like 80-inch Pixel Sense monitors. We can do a video call back and forth between those, and you'll actually see the this video right on that 80-inch screen, which comes out very, very clear. It's a nice demonstration if you want to see that later over by the booth. So we have point-to-point calls, very simple, right? I'm able to just right-click a user who signed in on one of those, start a video call with them. We can do IM or other capabilities around that as well. Do we have audio as well? Can you guys do you guys have the microphone turned on your end over there? So can you guys say hi and wave to the crowd? Everyone's watching you.
Hi there. Hi, everybody.
Hey. Thanks for joining, guys. We appreciate the heads up on the rush request over there. The other one we want to show you before they get evicted from the booth area is the capability to join a non-Link bridge. So this call right now is happening peer-to-peer. This call, we could also, for example, if I were to invite Val or Andreas or somebody else, we can have this mixed on a Link MCU. We'll show you that a little bit later as we're in a time crunch here. But the other one is you might have an existing room-based systems, for example. You may have some non-Link endpoints in your organization. And we want to show you what it's like to join one of those other systems as well. So I'm going to hang up on our direct call here, and we're actually going to call one of Polycom's bridges. So if I look at Polycom, we can see that on one of their RMX systems, they set up I think they call it a VMS. So I will start a video call here. And this will join a call back to one of Polycom's bridges at Polycom itself. They're federated with Microsoft, so we have the capability to see them in our address list. I enter the user SIP address here. They created a special one for this demonstration, and we should see this join their bridge in a moment. Once we join their bridge, we'll also see anyone else who's joined that Polycom RMX bridge. So we can see they've got quite a few endpoints coming in from around the world. This is now being mixed on a Polycom MCU versus a Link 2013 MCU. And so we can see they've got one of their booth devices there is on. We've got some, they had the text descriptions when I first hopped on. I'm not sure how to actually, if I can bring those on or bring those back up. But we see their other infrastructure around worldwide in a multi-party video call coming in as well. So some of these endpoints are Link endpoints. Some of these endpoints are Polycom endpoints. So essentially you can have H.263, H.264, type devices registering to that Polycom bridge, and we can have Link endpoints as well going back to that same bridge to show a nice interop story or ability to bridge your desktop users into your room-based systems and or your existing investment in a video conferencing solution. So here's our video, right, and here's the other video that they have coming around worldwide. Thanks, guys, over at the booth. We appreciate that. We'll look for you later in the demo if you're still out there, but if not, we'll understand that they're pulling you away due to some security restrictions in that space. Thanks again. Take care. So we accelerated them to the front so we can show you that part. We like to show the not just the native Microsoft story, right, but the all-up solution as well. So let's take a look and see if we can invite some other folks here. We'll invite Val over on the side. Let's
you'll
see.
Have to join the, you'll have to start your conference.
Good point. Let's start up a... So we'll start out. I know Andreas is in the audience. I think he's signed in. There he is. He's in a meeting right now, actually. Whereas I'm looking for him in the audience. Is he in the room here?
It's a meeting.
Or is he out? There he is. He's sitting in the middle of the audience. He's up on Wi-Fi, right? He's using a Windows 8 tablet here. So I've got some questions, right? I'm like, hey, Andreas, how you doing? All right, so we have, I've got some Link 2013 questions. You know, you available to answer those, etc. I see that his presence is available. I hover over Andreas. We still get the same concept of the contact card. We've actually tried to add some additional contextual information here. So hovering over his contact right gives me the IM, the call. If I hit the drop down right, I can call him directly or call his voicemail, for example. If he had published other numbers, I'd be able to call his home or his cell number, for example, if I had that access to see it. He's already excited. He's went and started a video call with us already. Let me go find his contact card over here to show the rest of the information. I'll call it jumping the gun. So if I hover over here, right, we'll see his contact card come up. And what I want to show you, oops, that brought me over here. I meant to hover. Loading here. There he is. If we click on the three drops right, I can see additional information around that, such as adding him to my contacts or adding to favorites or other pieces like that. So here he is, right? He started a video call from his tablet in the window. And we're having this discussion, but I feel like I need to share out some additional information. Maybe I want to invite some other people to this call. Val might have some stuff for me to know, right? So, oh, look at that. Val's happened to just happens to have Link 2010 on the presenter machine, so we can invite him as well. So let's go ahead and bring Val in or turn this peer-to-peer call into a conference, right? So today, but as of this point in time, video between Andreas and I is going from this machine over wireless network locally directly to his tablet. Signaling is going back through Redmond and Singapore to where our home pools are at. However, once I take Val and drag him into the call, it will turn our two-person peer-to-peer call into a conference. And so now we have three people. A conference means an MCU. So an MCU in this case will be a Link 2013 MCU, because my home pool back in Redmond is a Link 2013 pool, which means we're going to see some of the Link 2013 capabilities around things like multi-party video. We'll also be able to show the Link web app and functionality like that. So is it calling you right now? Oh, and he's got Link 2010 actually on his client. If he can mute his, he's looking for the controls. Mute his microphone and speaker. And your speaker too.
You gotta click on that.
Oh, now we won't have the audio feedback loop. So here we can see the Link 2010 client and an interop experience. If he's got his video started or once his video gets started, we'll see that highlighted over here as well. So make this a little bit bigger. We'll show the whole experience out, right? So now we've got a multi-party video call. Here's Val, here's myself, here's Andreas. If we switch to the speaker presenter machine, you'll see that he's running the Link 2010 client from an interop perspective, and you've got that traditional. Oh, that's not the. It's showing PowerPoint right there. Are you going to close? Yeah, there you go. Out of presenter view. And, oh, you're in. You need to do a Windows P and show the main screen. We're showing the second screen on the presenter machine, so we're going to go ahead and duplicate in a moment. Is it thinking? Windows P. Oh, it's up there. Your primary screen is up there. Duplicate. Hey, there we go. So now we can see the Link 2010 client, right? He's only getting active speaker because that's what that client supports. But he also wants to join in this via Link web app. So if we switch back, we're going to get my meeting invite information, and we'll show him how to join via web app. Now, I know Val is wants to join via browser in this case, right? So somehow I want to send Val this meeting information so he can come in via that browser. I have a couple ways to do that. I can send a scheduled invitation out via Outlook, which will include that join link and make it relatively easy for him to go forward. For purposes of saving time here, what we're going to do is find my default meeting information, which I can find by hovering over more options, clicking on that, and then going to the meeting entry info. At that point, I see how to come into this meeting via a phone, right? So if I have a cell phone or desk phone or any phone connected out to the PSTN, I can call this Redmond number and the conference ID. I can also click on find a local number, and if my link deployment has multiple PSTN entry points, I could find one local to Australia, for example, to provide to Val. What Val really wants, though, is this join link down here, which will allow him to come in via a PC or a computer or a browser, for example. So I'm going to copy the join link, Control-C, back to Val's IM, paste that in, and see if he can get that URL, and then leverage that URL to join in via the browser. And so he's going to go ahead and copy that in. Let's show you what that looks like, because he's going to also force, on Val's machine, he has a Link client. So by default, if Val clicks that hyperlink, it will run a little redirect and actually join via the link client to the call. But we want Val to come in specifically via browser, so we're going to use a little support trick where we put a question mark SL equals 1 at the end.
That's correct.
And that will allow Val to come inbound, forcing the browser experience versus letting it come in via link.
If it comes up right.
Okay. Question mark SL equals 1. Did you have
that was the old one.
Oh, there you go.
No, that's the right one. That's, there's a percent 20 in the space.
Nice. So while Val fixes his URL, we'll shortly be able to come up and see that the link web app browser experience, which we want to show you the Val's 2010 machine now actually having a multi-party video and being able to join via video and audio in that browser as well. So you'll probably also have to do the, there we go, link web app, join the meeting, and
so this is the new one or the old one. This is the
up comes Val. So now we're seeing, and he gets to mute again. It just activated, so now you've got so now his microphone and his speaker are muted on that, so we don't have the audio feedback loop, but Val's able to therefore join from a browser, right? You saw the audio being transmitted. You know it's live because you heard the little the feedback loop going, and Val's also able to add video in from that browser session as well. So now we have a multi-party call, right, where we've got Andreas coming in from on the network here on the wireless. We've got Val coming in both via a browser and a Link 2010 client, and we've got another machine with a Link 2013 client that's kicked off this ad hoc meeting experience. So here we have the multi-party video, multi-party audio, essentially a conference call, right? Variety of platforms all coming inbound to the meeting. But typically, oh yes, let's go back to switch again because we'll show you some more capabilities, right? So here's our roster. Our roster now, instead of that static text-based list that we saw on Val's 2010 client, the roster really tries to be based more around the concept of pictures or video for the people who are available for a call. Let's think, I think Ilsa said she was available here for a meeting as well. She's over in, where is she today? I think she's in the, she's coming in from Belgium usually, we'll find out. So let's see if Ilsa's available still for a demo.
I think and while Andrew's getting that set up, we're actually cheating a little bit on the machine. We've got the web app using the front-facing camera, and we've got the link client using the front-facing camera, and the web app using my USB-attached webcam to face the crowd, which is why you can see some of yourselves up there. So that way we're getting the five-panel roster with a very small number of people actually attending the actual meeting itself. So, and you can dynamically change the video in the web app as well onto selecting a different webcam, which is a little bit counter to what we had in the material because it was a slightly older deck.
Awesome. So while we're having this meeting with Val and Andreas, we would talk about this concept of OneNote sharing, right? So, and I'm not sure why Ilsa's coming up if you're watching me right there. We'll come back to that in a moment. So we have audio. Audio has our typical audio controls. If I hover over the audio microphone, I can mute. I can put the call on hold. I have a dial pad if I need to enter some digits for an IVR, for example. I can switch devices. So right now I'm using a little Polycom speakerphone that has an audio output cable that we can plug in back for the room systems. I could switch it to my PC mic and speakers or a USB headset, for example, if I had one of those. I can also transfer a call. Link already knows my mobile number. I could also try transferring it to another number if I, I don't mean to move the mouse at the same time. I'll transfer to another number too if I needed to. This allows me to take this call on my cell phone as I walk away from the computer and participate in that without having to dial in from my mobile device. We showed video, right? We showed the concept of hovering, shows the video preview, and then I can go ahead and turn the camera on or turn the camera off with the video controls. But let's look at our sharing capabilities. So I hover over the sharing one, and we have our options, right? We've got desktop, program, PowerPoint, whiteboard, poll. That's kind of the default options that people will come to. But we also have this new tab around OneNote. So with OneNote, I can either take my own personal notes, or my notes, right? Or I can take some shared notes that I want to share with other people in the call. So let's do shared notes. I'll go ahead and made a OneNote called Link Demos that I use for doing demonstrations like this. When I have this OneNote call, you'll see that OneNote will automatically add the meeting roster or the participants in that call in as participants, as well as any other information or contextual information I had around that call today. I'm also getting a notification that some people can't see what I'm presenting. So the OneNote sharing capability is going to be restricted to the Link web app or Link 2013 clients. The Link 2010 client is not seeing that shared OneNote experience. I could share my desktop, right? They'd be able to see it that way, but they don't have the concept in Link 2010 of that shared OneNote capability. So I can start taking some notes, right? So here are some notes on the call. But at the same time, I've invited Val and Andreas to this, and we're actually able to see their notes coming in or flowing in real time here as well. So if Andreas or Val add some notes inside of here, we'd see those flowing in additionally around that. You have, do you see the OneNote up there, Andreas? And can you add, hey, look at that. So he's adding some contextual there himself. He's got a tablet, so instead of typing on a keyboard, he's decided to use his drawing capabilities or his pen capabilities to add some context. Val's over here, he's taking a look too. He's got to sign in over there.
I'm used to a fully integrated Windows 8 machine and right. I'm having to sign into all of my Hotmail and SkyDrive and access to it from browsers, but it's all good.
Yeah, still good point on that is Val's actually using the speaker presentation host machine, right? So this isn't a pre-prepped machine for any of the demo. He's coming in straight from a browser on a presentation one, and he additionally has to sign in to SkyDrive and stuff like that to get that access over. But so here's the shared OneNote capabilities, right? We'd see that multi-editor concept of people being able to provide notes. Those notes are stored in SkyDrive post-meeting. They're not part of the Link meeting expiration or content expiration period. So as Link expires content 30 days or 90 days, as your meeting is flowing, the OneNotes will stay persistent in SkyDrive or SharePoint or wherever you're sharing out the OneNote files from as far as the expiration policy on that system or that platform.
And whilst I can actually consume the PowerPoint because the web app client itself, you can't actually contribute to a OneNote unless you actually decide to break out and edit the document yourself in OneNote explicitly.
Correct.
So I'm just consuming what's being presented to
yep.
me by everyone.
So let's take a look at what that looks like from a browser experience, right? So basically what he's saying is the browser, the OneNote web app is giving you a read-only viewpoint, so he's able to see the notes that I can take
now.
And Andreas can update, but he's not able to update them himself as he's coming in.
And I just lied, we fixed it.
There you go.
In the newer versions.
If he had Office 2013 there, he'd be all up and a full participant on that machine as well. So let's come back again. We still have the same capabilities, right, around attachments. We can upload attachments here, such as PowerPoint or a Word doc, for example, and have that be accessible to folks in the meeting so that they can download that. We don't have to email that out or blast it out in an email thread. So everything we've done just now is this concept of the ad hoc meeting experience. So here everyone is coming in ad hoc. Let's see if we can find, I know Elsa was coming up busy. I think it was at 6 o'clock, so we might not be able to bring her in, but we'll see what she says. Let's try bringing her, and let's get someone's audio who's not in the room, so we have the option for that. She may not accept, because I know she's told me she was busy at 6 p.m. this time. I'm not sure what time it is in her time zone. Ah, here she comes. Hey. Hello, Elsie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
All the other Link participants here are in the same room, so we wanted to get an outside person so they could hear the audio quality and video quality coming in from a from an outside participant.
Ooh, I see a lot of people there.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for the quick participation. I think you have to go at the top of the hour too, right? So we only have a couple minutes.
Yeah, I'll just bring you around so you can see how many people there are.
There you go. We're giving you the full room
Ooh,
experience.
Where are you sitting?
Hello, everyone. Where are you sitting today, Elsie? Are you in Belgium?
Yeah, I'm in Belgium, and I'm at the office in Belgium. I can turn around my laptop as well, so you can actually see some of my colleagues.
Hey.
You can see that. They're all waving. Well, some of them.
There we go.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Wait, tell everyone else hello as well. We're all here in Australia today. So, easy to bring people in, right? It's relatively straightforward to drag other participants into the call. We can do that up to 250 folks. If we deploy the 1,000 meeting option solution, we can deploy up to 1,000 folks in a Link meeting or a Link call. So thank you, Elsa. Appreciate your time.
Okay, no worries.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care.
You
so there's
too.
The ad hoc
bye-bye.
Link meeting experience. That's the process we'd use to bring folks in. We can also hover over the people icon. This will give us our traditional roster list, which has their capabilities. So here we're showing that all the folks are connected have IM capability. All of them have audio. Most of them are on mute on the microphones as they're in the same room. We don't have the feedback. We see the video capability and the ability for sharing or consumption of a sharing session over on the right. We also see the unauthenticated folks. So we see two folks coming in from Link Web App Browser. That's showing one of them gave the name Stage Camera. The other was, oops, let me hover over that again. The other one shows the concept of Link Meeting. Oh, there's a
Link Meeting crowd.
Link Meeting crowd, showing the crowd for the, that's probably Val, is that your webcam pointing at everyone else? Excellent. The authenticated folks show up separately right here. We're showing the presence icons. We see the contact cards. There's Andreas's contact card I wanted to show. So here we see additional info on the contact card as well, right? So we can see calendar, he's actually busy here for the next 8 hours. If he was free, we'd see the time that he was next busy. We see his information being published from Active Directory on his work phone numbers, his email address. We can see office location, what time zone he's in. We'll look at organization, right? We'll show attributes such as manager, his peers, other aspects like that. I can drill up or drill down on those. If he's posting new information or connected to social networking, I would see his Twitter, Facebook, etc. Feeds along there. And I can even now see his membership or distribution list membership, if so be so has, by clicking on the membership tab. So I can see he's part of the Asia Voice community, right? He spent a day in the Microsoft cloud. I'd be curious to see
what
that group was or how your experience was there. So contact card experience updated. We give you a little bit richer context around that information. So
just one of the things on the Link web app that we've got to show you, which reminded me when it popped up in the guest roster, was you can actually authenticate as a valid organization user from within the Link web app. It's not just anonymous or guest access. So you're just simply selecting the second URL down, which is, you know, sign in if you are an organization.
We'll show it.
In the organizer's company, okay, which will actually alter what you're actually connecting with, and then you're actually putting in your, you know, full details.
So people inside of your organization that have, you know, either a legacy client, no client deployed, would still come in as an authenticated user, assuming they enter their appropriate internal organization credentials when joining via the web app.
I explicitly joined an old meeting URL because otherwise I'm trying to join with three web cameras and three different clients into the same meeting, and I thought that might be a bit dodgy. So.
Understood.
So
understood.
It might have kicked in, but we'll kill it.
One other thing we like to show, so let's show the Outlook integration. We'll bring up our Outlook 2013 preview on the box and schedule a Link meeting. So the scheduling a meeting, right, we start with a new meeting request in Outlook. Most of you are familiar. This machine actually has Link 2010 and Link 2013 preview installed. Clicking on the Link 2010 would schedule a Link 2010 meeting, right, Link 2013 via the Link 2013 meeting. Let's dismiss our reminders as they pop up. But one question people have when they schedule Link meetings is, by default, every time I click on Link meeting, I get the same conference ID. My default conference ID is 930-9295. If I were to look at this hyperlink, it's JQ03DLS9. This means when I schedule two meetings back to back, people joining early on the second one, or if my first one runs long, will be the same bridge. Right? So every time I schedule, essentially I have the same bridge that I'm sending out as long as I leave the default meeting options alone, which means that I can put this invite into my signature field, for example, and always have it published. So if I say hop on my bridge, they dial in the number in my signature, right? I don't have to send those creds out later. Most folks will have an email from me, and they're able to go ahead and rapidly join a meeting. A Link essentially is what we call a reservationless system. So it's not pre-allocating resources, knowing that I schedule a meeting at a certain time. It's willing to accept both those spontaneous meetings as well as scheduled meetings, and it will find an AV MCU in the pool that has availability to support that meeting or that request at the time the meeting is being provisioned, or I'm sorry, at the time the meeting is being launched from an end user perspective. But you have scenarios where you want to schedule a meeting where you don't want this back-to-back thing to occur. Maybe you're having a sensitive discussion with a vendor or supplier, an HR discussion, something like that, where you don't want your normal meeting experience to be used. The way to do that is click on the meeting options button and come in here and say, where do you want to meet? So we have two options. My dedicated meeting space, right, which is the one that is my default credentials for, or I can select the option, a new meeting space, and then go ahead and provide some specific granularity or permissions there. I can say who gets in directly, who's a presenter, do I want to mute attendees or block attendees video, for example. But let's just leave those alone, and just change the new meeting space. I hit OK. I wait. We'll see it refreshes, and I have a new conference ID down here at the bottom. And on the join link, it's no longer the JQ0, it's now FYGJ, etc., etc. So by clicking on the unique one, I create a new unique instance. It's relevant only to this meeting, and I therefore have created that separate or unique meeting experience for people joining this one. So if I have the back-to-back, or if I want to have that secure session, I don't have that overlap in people joining or accidentally joining my default bridge when I send out that invite. Other than that, we're relatively the same in terms of the meeting options for Link 2010 and Link Server 2013. You have the Outlook plugin. As we also mentioned, you can now do scheduling via OWA 2013 as well. So if you're in OWA 2013, you have the same capabilities for that scheduled meeting experience as you have in the full Outlook 2013 client.
And just on that conferencing join URL, the reason it takes a little bit of time when you actually select to change some of the presentation is because it's actually connecting back to SQL tables and entering a unique value associated with your user ID. And that's what's actually taking the time to come back and propagate that information for you.
Right, that's a real-time online request to go back and generate that unique one, which is another point. You must be connected to the network to do that unique meeting experience, because we're actually going to go live to your meeting your link infrastructure to get that unique URL and that unique conference ID for that portion. So with that, that's our link demo experience. We kind of rushed through that Polycom one up front due to the constraints at the booth area. We wanted to give you a little bit more time as we walk through that one. Apologize for that and the closing down the pavilion a little bit early. But now you should have a good idea of the link meeting experience. You see the multi-party video, the ability of the Link web app, as well as the Link 2010 client to participate in those meetings, the new features from Link 2013's perspective around things like OneNote sharing and the hovering over the icons to show that information prior to you initiating that action, which is how we had the process in Link 2010. So let's go ahead and end the call, and we'll switch back to PowerPoint, see where we were. Oh, can you jump to the, instead of clicking forward?
Yeah. No, it was on the demo.
Oh, there we go.
It's a demo.
Yeah, I saw that as the initial one. So there's our demo of the Link 2013 meeting experience. You got to see, like we said, both the native Link experience as well as that Polycom integration experience as well. So essentially, goal being in Link meetings is we're trying to expose or show this concept of video and pictures to show the meeting roster of participants with a little bit more context. One of the points there is that for people joining a web conference or a multi-party conference today, it's very common, as these conferences have grown in adoption and popularity, for people to be on that call but not really actively participating. Right? I've been guilty of this as well, where I join someone's meeting, I put myself on mute, and they kind of drone on and on about their PowerPoint or change, and I'm a passive participant, but what I'm really doing is going through mail or working on something else. Video calls, what we've seen is that by adding video to the call, you have more awareness of what those participants are doing in the call, either as the meeting owner or presenter, and so therefore it's less likely that you see that sort of disengaged participation because you're seeing that active video feed of the participants in the call. So if they're, you know, not looking at the camera and typing diligently while you're speaking, you're aware that, and it's not showing up in the IM window, you're aware that they're not actively participating, and so therefore we see more of an active participation when we add video or the context of video to that meeting experience. Related content, we covered the architecture session this morning. We had the meeting experiences and the meeting highlights this afternoon. Tomorrow morning, we'll go over the deployment, which is both deployment and migration. We'll cover some of the prereqs for deploying Link Server 2013, as well as what platforms and the migration path for coming in from legacy versions of Link and or OCS. There's a customer panel where you'll see some of the folks from here who have deployed Link and their experiences with it. So you'll get to ask, you'll see a moderated panel where they'll go over their experience of deploying, operating, and running Link. In the afternoon, we'll also cover voice improvements. There's where we'll cover in more detail the concept of Link Online, Link Hybrid, and Link Server in terms of some of the routing changes and other voice infrastructure changes. Friday, we'll include that, we'll extend more detail specifically around PBX integration, and then finally close out the track at TechReady with a conversation around enterprise networking, which is the concept of IPv6, Wi-Fi, FOSS, for example, that are supported by Link 2013. As pointed out earlier, right, please feel free to go download. We have Link 2013 and Exchange 2013 previews publicly available. You're welcome to download and try these out, test in your lab, build a demo, build an environment, and see what that Link experience or Exchange experience is like with our 2013 wave. So please fill out your previews. We actually do read all the comments. We actually encourage you to put some comments in there as well. That gives us good feedback. We use that feedback to do everything from slowing down as we speak, right, to less mannerisms, more demos, less demos, right?
Worst
all
jokes.
That feedback comes through. Pardon?
Worst jokes.
Less jokes, yeah. Less bad jokes. So thanks again for your participation. Come visit us by the booth, and I hope you're enjoying Tech Ed.
We do have another set of random giveaways for you actually attending. So once again, Andrew's going to do his magic with Excel for those of you in the architecture diagram
like
to randomize
Excel.
Numbers.
So we know what was the, so we're looking for the highest number in the group.
So has anyone got on their badge number any value that's higher than 3,000? No? Anyone? Yes?
One? Okay, a couple. What's the highest number we've got up there?
3,060.
1-6 or 6-0?
6-0.
3,060. All right, so let's zoom into the selection. We're on switch machines.
And since it's really steep and there's like a drop off the edge, I'm just going to ask the winners to come down, whoever they are, and they'll collect the individual prizes themselves. It's
and
a bit dangerous
between
to throw.
0 and 3060. Magic number is...
And we're going for
is
closest number.
1,956. Who comes closest to... We're within 504.
All right,
54. We're within two.
That's pretty good. I think
I'd say you're the lucky one. Anyone closer than two? No, that's not going to cut it. All right, we have winner of the first prize goes to 1954. Let's try that again. F2.
We'll go this one next.
Let's come over to 3,060. Let's go 3,060. Enter. 2,258. 2,124. Within about 130. Pardon? 47. 2,247, is that correct?
Yep.
So we're within nine now. All right, 2,247. Lucky winner number two. We have one final contestant who's going to win.
Awesome.
Let's go ahead, push the button. 1248. 1214 within, what is that, 34? Excellent. Anyone closer than 34 to 1248? Pardon? 1215? Oh, 1315. What is that? I got to do my math over here. Let's see. 1315
like
minus 1248. Oh, come on. Equals. Sorry. Equals.
I think it was over here.
Within 67. What was the other number?
1240.
Did it refresh? What was the actual? Presenter error.
Nice.
Oh, so, I have it. We know what it is because it's over here on the subtraction one.
So Andrew's exceptionally good at Link, but Excel.
Not so good at Excel. It was 1248. So what was the number that we had over here?
1214.
1214? 1248. Equals. Equals 1248 minus 1215. 33. You're within 33. It looks like there's our winner. So thank you, gentlemen, for coming out.
Thanks all.
Appreciate your time. Enjoy Tech Ed.
Nice work. Thanks, buddy.